I've got something I want to share with you. Go, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Let's start in verse 23. Church, you know, I've been preaching this thing about your VIPs, and I think that some of y'all believe it, some of you don't really believe it, some of you just kind of like, yeah, that's nice, but you just don't know how very important people you are. You don't really have the revelation of how very important you are to Jesus. Amen? Now, I'm going to take a little survey tonight, and I need y'all's help. So, how many of you today you ran across or came in contact with at least said hello to five people? Raise your hand. At least five. Okay. 10? At least 10 people. Okay. At least 10. Okay, so let's take it on up a little bit. 15. 15? You ran across 15 people today. Okay, so we're dwindling it down a little bit. How many? 20? You ran across 20 people today? Yeah? And all that your activities going on, college and everything like that, you ran across 20? Anybody got 20? Dixie got 20? 20, 21. Going back to have 22? Okay, so you know, okay, so 20 people. So a lot of y'all had run across 5 people today. You know, and then depending on your job, your occupation, people coming at the bank, whatever, you get more people walking. At least you're saying hello to, how are you doing, right? Well, it says here in Acts chapter 1, verse 23, it says, and they proposed to Joseph called Barsabas, who was also surnamed Justice, and Matthias. Just go on, Bob, 24. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen, 25, to take part in this ministry. An apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell that he might go into his own place. So they were trying to find the replacement for Judas. Okay? The word, you know what the word ministry means there? A relief service. And if you go out and you search it throughout the scriptures, most of the time it's what it means. Ministry meant the relief service. Or service for relief. However you want to look at it, right? In other words, I mean, what's a relief service? Somebody need to be relieved from something, right? I mean, somebody was under pressure, right? A relief service, if a tree's falling on you and somebody picks a tree up, you relieve them. That was a relief service, right? Somebody has got a bad word. Somebody's got a, something going wrong in their life. Something's happening. Something got a bad report, got a bad something. And you go in there and you say, hey, listen, Jesus loves you. Boom, you just did a relief service. So many times we think this religious mind has got us thinking about ministry as being the pulpit ministry. Somebody that stands up and speaks and preaches the word. And that's ministry. But the real truth of the Bible, when you look at it, ministry is nothing more than relief service. All right? Now, everybody does it differently. Everybody. Okay, now let's take it differently. How many of y'all, of the people that you ran across today, you actually had time to engage in conversation? You know? Okay, so if we started taking the number, the 20 people y'all spoke to today or talked to today, did you have time to engage in conversation with all those 20? Some of it may have been, hi, how are you doing? Is everything okay today? Yeah, you know, bye and see you. Short. But you may have had in-depth conversations with somebody, right? Where you were really just talking or chit-chatting or shooting the bull or whatever. I'm not talking about that it had to be about a problem. But you had conversation. All right, let me show you something. What God wants to do in life is He wants to take each and every one of us, because you are VIPs, you're very important people. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And what He was looking to do today was to use you to be relief service for that person, if that person needed relief service. or if they were open to relief service. They may have only been open up to seed planting. They may not have been willing for relief today. They may just ground to sow seed in, which could have been, "Hey, how are you doing today? God bless you. It's good to see you." "Oh, you said God bless you." When the Super Bowl was over the other night and they picked the MVP, I noticed I was listening to what he was saying out of his mouth. I was listening for any reference to God. And sure enough, he made several references to God. "Thank God we were here. You know, God, using our God-given talent to be here." You know, he got God in several times, you know. I was like, way to go, dude. You sowed seed. 111 million people watched the game, and if they stayed on for that, you just sowed seed to 111 million people. Some of them would have said, "God, I can't believe they mentioned God. I can't believe it." But hey, you got seed in there. Right? Others of them was like, "Oh, man, that's cool. He must be a Christian. Maybe he really loves Jesus. We need to seek out more of that. That's cool. He's the MVP, and he was did awesome. And he may have become a peer to a young person. Y'all with me? You don't know. The Apostle Paul said, man, some are going to sow seed, some are going to water, and some are going to harvest. You don't know. All you know is that every day when you leave the house, you have to leave the house with the understanding that you are a VIP. You are a very important person because you do know who you are. Okay? Don't worry about the world and what they're saying. You got to know who you are. You're a VIP. I got to tell you this funny story. When I was just going to Guatemala last week, and I was traveling with Brother Ivan, and I had used air miles to bump myself up into first class so I could sit with him because he always gets first class. So I was up, feeling like the big dog, you know. I mean, I'm up in first class. And so I walked onto the plane, and we didn't have adjoining seats. And so usually, you know, there's somebody to trade seats with you. And so there was a guy in the seat, and I said, "Hey, sir, you know, would you mind trading seats with me? You know, I have one F over here, and would you trade? My partner's sitting here. I'd like to, you know." He said, "Sure." He said, "I'll do that." And he said, "But my luggage is here." And I said, "That's okay." I said, "Leave your luggage right there. As soon as the plane lands and everything, I'll get your luggage out and I'll bring it to you if you'll just sit up there and let me have the seat." And he said, "Sure." So I was talking about this. And so the stewardess was there and she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. Are you traveling with Mr. Tate?" And I said, "Yeah, I am. I'm traveling with him." And she says, "Oh, well, can you show me who he is?" And so I was kind of like, it was funny, you know, I was kind of like, what do you want, his autograph or something, you know? And so he had done something and he was in there. Well, you know, y'all know Brother Ivan. I mean, you know, he looks like the least likely person to be sitting in first class at all times. And so he comes through the door, you know, he's got on this old army jacket, his hair is all messed up and everything. He's walking in there. I said, "Well, here he comes in all of his glory and splendor." And the stewardess looked up and says, that's Mr. Tate. And I said, "That's Mr. Tate." And you can see she's like, "I don't know if I believe you, you know." And so we sat down and he sat down and she came and said, "Well, Mr. Tate." And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, we only have, only a limited amount of chicken meals or, you know, steak meals. And I want to know, you know, you have first choice. Which one would you like?" And I'm like, "What?" You know, I'm thinking, what is this? And so she leaves, and I said, "What is this all about?" And he said, "Oh, well, you know, I got 2 million miles flying with this company, and so, you know, I'm a 1K flyer or whatever, and so, you know, I have more miles than anybody, so I get the first selection of whatever is in first class." And I was like, that is a VIP. He doesn't even look like a VIP. He doesn't look like he deserves to even sit in first class. He's not dressed like he should be a first-class person. It's not one way or the other. It's not like he takes it for granted or he really, you know, is arrogant about it. He just knows he's got 2 million miles of the company and wherever he goes onto the plane, he's going to get first class. And I was just sitting there thinking, that is a VIP. Why aren't we all like that? We all know that we're children of God. We're born again. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. That heaven is our home. That God says we can boldly come to the throne of God and make our requests known. And that according to 1 John 5:14, He hears our prayer and He will answer our prayer. And He will, you know, why aren't we walking like this? Why do we let the devil come to us and say, oh, you're not going to succeed, or you're not going to walk in victory, or oh, this is going to be a bad day, or you saw the black cat run across the road and you're like, oh, this ain't going to work. I mean, what are we doing not walking in the power of God and in the Word of God and in the what the Word of God says about us, that we let it steal our VIP and go sit back and coach? I mean, we're actually like in first class and we're back there arguing, trying to sit in a coach seat. One time we were on a trip and we had a big team in Guatemala and this guy I never had thought about it like this and I just thought it was so funny. He said, yeah, one thing I hate about the airlines is, he says, they always seat all the first class passengers and then make us go down the poverty march. We had to parade by all of them looking at them sitting in their seats as we parade to the back. In the poverty march. And I thought, that is amazing. I never thought of it like that. Don't see them last. See them first. Let everybody walk by and wish they were in the seat. Isn't that right with the world? To walk by you and say, oh, I wish I had what they had, when it's Jesus. When people look into your lives and look into your joy and look into your peace and look into your happiness and look into your victories and look into what's going on in your life, or look into how you're handling situations that are come upon you in life, that come upon all of us. And people look into your lives and say, wow, I wish I had what they had. Because it's Jesus that made you a VIP. I mean, come on, folks, we have got to get this revelation. We have got to start walking. It's not arrogance here. It's revelation. Listen, it's not arrogance. It's revelation. And so how are we going to perform in this relief service? By every person that we come across every day of our lives. Are we prepared to be ministers? Are we prepared to offer relief service? Are we prepared to look at that person that's foul and disgusting and maybe whatever, and have compassion for them? Or are we just like the world? You see, church, that's what makes the difference of knowing you're a VIP or just taking that poverty march to the back and just going along with the herd. I noticed something in the book of... Go to Matthew chapter 8. I was reading this. Here in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus with the centurion over in verse 5. Matthew 8, 5. Now, I think this is interesting because, I mean, Jesus is the Son of God. He came to earth. He's walked on this earth as the Son of God. You with me? I mean, pretty important title and status, right? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He knows that someday he's going to come riding back on the white horse with the word and truth written on the side of him and lead the armies and rule earth, right? And he's walking along with his disciples. In verse 5, it says, now Jesus had entered Capernaum. A centurion came to him, pleading with him and said, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. I mean, there was no argument. I mean, Jesus, yeah, I'll come healing. I'll come to your house. I mean, that just strikes me odd. There was no arrogance in Jesus. There was no, you know, pomp that, oh, well, you know, I'm getting ready to go have a meeting. I'm ready. We're getting ready to go to this place, and I need to go there and prepare, and I've got to pray and get myself ready for this meeting, and I don't really have time to go to your house and be with you. He said, yeah, I'll come. And the centurion said, oh, Lord, you know, the story goes on. He says, you know, you're not worthy to come into my roof, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and just speak the word only. You know, you read the whole story. But Jesus, his first thing, yeah, I'll come. I'll just go. Sure, what do you need? Because, see, he knew he was a VIP. He knew that no matter what situation was, no matter what he came into, no matter what the problem was, no matter what there, he had it covered. It was what he knew on the inside of who he was that could make him just so easily say, yeah, I'll come to take care of it, no problem. And he was willing. He'd have gone to the guy's house and laid hands on the guy. But then he stopped and he said, this guy is different, man. His faith is, he's, you know, this guy, okay, well, I don't, there's no sense in me saying, yeah, okay, no problem. Now, listen, I'll come to your house. He didn't argue with him. He's like, okay, so this is where your faith is. This is what you're believing. So he met the guy at the point of his faith. You with me? Syrophoenician woman, when she came to Jesus with a different, approaching with a different place of faith. The woman who came up behind Jesus and touched him at the end of the garden came to Jesus with a different place. The lepers that came to Jesus, they came to him in a different place. Not, you don't really find any place in the scriptures where everybody always came exactly the same way. Right? So that means every person that you ran across today in your conversations, in your daily walk, in your daily life, every one of those people were probably in a different level or area of faith. So how are you going to meet them? How are you going to get them? Well, some of the approach that we take in our relief ministry is we're trying to get them to get into our relief ministry the way we want them to get into it, rather than just meeting them at the point of their faith. And if their faith is here, then that's where you meet them. If it's here, that's where you meet them. If it's there, it's where you meet them. If all they're good for is to say, hey, God bless you, have a great day, when you left from the conversation and that's where you knew their point of faith was, well, then glory to God. You performed ministry to them that day. And you should just go home and say, glory to God. Lord, thank you for this day. Y'all remember the old, I started to play it at Christmas and I thought it was too corny because I'm getting older and things that I think are cool aren't cool anymore. But y'all remember the old Grandpa Jones song when he was talking about the Lord said to him he was going to come and sing? Y'all remember that always plays at Christmas? Please tell me y'all know this. Does anybody in here not know? I mean, no, it's not. Does everybody in here, how many of y'all here know who Grandpa Jones was? Hee-haw. Thank you. Y'all need to go YouTube it. It's on YouTube because I found it. And he played this song. Come, y'all remember the song? That he was wanting to, the Lord said he was going to come visit him that day. And then three times someone came to his house, but it was a little girl that was lost and a beggar who was cold. And I don't remember what the other one was, but, and he came and then at the end of the day, he said, Lord, you didn't come. The day's already passed and you haven't come to my house today. He said, what do you mean? I came to your house three times today. Y'all with me? I mean, that's really the essence of what I'm trying to say tonight. Because what it was is every time it was there, but see, he was expecting something different. He was expecting Jesus in his robe and his sandals holding the silly lamb. Right? I mean, don't we do that? We expect the burning bush, the bright light, the fire, the whoosh. When all three times there was an opportunity, he came to his door, and all three times it was Jesus really in that situation. Because unless you've done it in the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Right? And all three times there was an opportunity there. And he missed it. And he didn't, you know, he did do good to him and he did help him and he did do it. But he was kind of like, okay, come on, you need to hurry up and leave because the master's coming today. When the master was sitting in front of him. And so many times you're like, okay, well, listen, you're taking up all my time and I really need to go pray. It's my Bible reading time. I've got to go, you know, yes, okay, that's good. God bless you. I'll talk to you later because I got to go. Because I need to go over here and do this because I want to be holy. And we missed what we're supposed to be sitting there doing. sowing the seed in the person because it's a relief ministry. It's a relief service. So a ministry is. And when we catch this revelation and we start to walk in it, folks, I want to tell you something. It's going to change lives. Because then all of a sudden you're in tune to what the Holy Spirit's trying to do for that person right there while you're sitting drinking coffee with them. And then it doesn't have to be, woo-hah, yay, thus saith the Lord God, Almighty is speaking through me to you today. Oh, glory, I see this and that. No, it can just be, hey, you know, things aren't as bad as you think they are. You know, God's a great God, and if you'll just ask him to come into your heart, you know, he'll turn your heart around. Matter of fact, I can tell you that God loves you and wants to help you. I mean, that may be the ministry. And if that's the way we are as people, and people want to approach us, and people want to do something and want to come to us, then we're going to have something to do in ministry. You know, I always go back and say, maybe it's baking those cookies for somebody. Maybe it's taking care of somebody's kids. Maybe it's, you know, bringing somebody something or doing whatever. I think so many times we're looking for the big opportunity to come when the opportunities are around us all the time and we don't even see them. And unless God has spoken to you and laid it out before you and is sending you to, you know, Bible school and then to Ethiopia, and you're in Utopia and this is where you're at or wherever you are in life, whatever town you live in, wherever place you work, and that's your job and that's what you're doing and that's where God has you, then I can tell you that every person that walks through your door or you walk into their door, that is your ministry that day. That is your Ethiopia. That is your Africa. That is your whatever, you know, thing that you could think that you, oh gosh, I'd really be a minister if I was doing that. Because Acts 27? No, Acts 17, that tells us that our times are set up, our bounds are set up, every place that we are, where we were born, the times and all that. Well, that means that where you are today, that's where you are today, here. You're in this church tonight to hear this message. Because he knew that was the best place that you would be to receive it. The best place that you would be, that you could understand it. And I'm the best delivery system to you for you to receive it. And if I was somebody else, you may not receive it. But you got me. You follow what I'm saying? We've got to encourage ourselves about this every day. We've got to come into our lives every day and look at it and say, well, no, wait a minute. This is who I am. This is where I'm at. This is what God has for me. Whatever I'm doing. How many times I started out my day thinking I should have been going somewhere to do something and ended up somewhere else doing something else and was mad because I didn't get done that day what I thought I was supposed to do and had to come back at the end of the day and say, I was really where I needed to be and doing what I needed to do. You know, for ever since I got saved, of course, if you go back and you look at my life when I was in high school and when I was doing things that weren't right, I was out partying and doing whatever, I was always the biggest talker and I was always in the middle of everything. Well, you can't tell me that God didn't say, well, we're going to use this. You know, this guy's a mouthpiece. He can't shut up anyway, so we'll just make him preach the gospel, you know, whatever. And when I look at everything in life and I look at the way God does things, it makes me realize that all my life the life that I was living, even when I didn't know Jesus, was molding me and cultivating me to be who I am today. And I never realized it. That the things that I was walking through, the things that I learned from my father and even from people who didn't even know Jesus, but I was watching them and seeing the way they operate in life, that had something to do with cultivating me to be where I am today. Okay? So, where you are right now and the situations you're going through and the things that you've gone through in life has cultivated you to be who you are today, to become what Jesus wants you to be. And you can sit around all the time And you can think, if I'd have done this or I'd have done that and I wouldn't have gotten into this, I wouldn't have gotten into that. Well, then, this would have been better. I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. You know why? Because you're not going back there anyway. Because you are where you are today because of the choices we made, and we're here, and we can only walk from here forward. And it's not what you can do to change the past, it's what you can do to change your future. So you can say, oh God, I've made so many mistakes, I don't know how God could use you. But right there in the midst of where you're at, God wants to use you for ministry relief or relief services to do ministry. There's so many times when I look at my life that I could have made different choices and been in a different place. I mean, I think all of us could. If I'd have done this, or I'd done that, or I'd have, you know. I mean, I had a lot of opportunities for me, but I chose to make certain decisions that got me where I'm at today. And who I am was already created in me. God had already worked all that out in me, just like He's already worked it all out in you. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's taking hold of who you are right now in Jesus, and then understanding that you're a VIP in Jesus, and then who you're around right now. If you'll just start ministering to those people who you run across, if it's the seed sowing, if it's wherever their level of faith is, and you start doing that, I want to tell you something, then everything will grow from there. I'm really amazed that for years and years I've written things and I've published things and I've books and pamphlets and this and that and the other, and I always seem like it never did any good. The only place I ever really saw a lot of success is in Mexico, and the books being done in Spanish. And then all of a sudden now, after all these years, you know, I find that there's 4,500 people going to the website and looking at it. There's 700 people a month reading the newsletters, and I'm thinking, wow, 700 people read that, you know? Now I see it. Years ago, I didn't. Years ago, I only saw success in Mexico. But you know, if you just keep doing what God told you to do, it's going to be successful. And if it's just one person that you're created to minister to get that one person saved, because that was your assignment in life, that somebody that no one else in the world could reach, and God used you to reach that one hard-headed, you know, somebody that crawled underneath a rock and wouldn't come out, and you're the one that was called to do that, how would you like the minister of Ezekiel? His relief service. He does every freaky, weird thing out on the beach, is from laying on his side naked with manure on him, to then his ministry changes to lay on the other side. I mean, it's a pretty simple ministry, but it's not very rewarding. And right at the middle of, right in the very first, God tells you, I just made your head harder than their heads, because their heads are hard as flint and yours is harder than theirs. And that's why I called you for the ministry. But He's got a book in the Bible. And how many of us have read the book of Ezekiel and gotten blessed by it? And how many people did He really touch in life through that ministry of what is his book of the Bible versus what He ever did laying on the beach? Y'all with me? All I'm saying is you just have to trust in God, that God's doing with you, and you are where you are at this moment because He wants you to minister to whoever comes across your path. And if we wake up in the morning and say, man, we are very important people. We were ministers of the gospel. We were children of the King. We were declarers of the good news. I have a habit of when I wake up in the morning, I read my chapters in the Bible like I always do. I sit down and Laura reads hers, and we talk and discuss and have our, I mean, you can call it a devotion if you want to, but it's the way we do things, you know, and we just talk and discuss about what we read and what's going on like that. And I always laugh, and then I said, okay, now I've read the good news, now it's time to read the bad news. And I'll flip on to a, you know, like the Drudge Report or something like that. It has a whole bunch of articles of what's going on in the world. See what's going on in the world. So I read the good news before I read the bad news. But you know, it really is good news. And sometimes I don't do but scan through the other because I don't want to listen to and read the bad news. I just want to see, you know, bombing went off somewhere or something would happen or whatever is going on so I can pray for the world or whatever's taking place. It's just like the other day, that bomb that went off in Volgograd in the train station. I've been there. I stood there. That's where we went with when we were Pastor Alexis in Volgograd. And so it was like that hit home. I read the article. I was like, wow, I've been there. I was there. And so that's why I read them, because then I got to pray and said, God bless Pastor Alexi. And, you know, it's his time. And everybody's going to Skohi or however you pronounce it. Is that right? Skohi? Skochi? Sochi? Everybody's going to Sochi. You got to go through Volgograd to get to Sochi. So Pastor Alexi's right there in the middle of all of it. So I was like, well, bless him, Lord. So, you know, I want to know world things. I want to know world views about stuff. But you got to have the good news, and then so you've got something good to tell everybody. Right? You don't want to just be repeaters of bad news. And we're VIPs. Look at the person beside you and say, man, you're a VIP. You're a very important person. Amen? Amen. Well, all right. Well, then we need to get to some relief service tomorrow. And you wake up in the morning, going out there in the world with some good news. Amen? Well, praise God. Let's take up our offering tonight.